I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
...97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, welcome back. 4 o'clock hour of the Mark Reardon Show on a Wednesday afternoon, and a beautiful Wednesday at that. How gorgeous is this weather? Our friend Alex Rich swinging by for conversation during this hour. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
It's a great day out there, I tell you. Sue, did you get out and enjoy the weather at all?
No, not. I'm just kind of crazy busy right now. In a couple weeks when it's hot again, that's when I'll have time.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm in that stage right now where I look for any excuse to get out there, so like, you know, it's that time of the year where I am very, very strict on using the blower to blow off my deck,
It's
that specific time of the year. Fall, you do it, but you just can't keep up because the leaves fall so quickly. This is like just the perfect time of the year where you just got a clean path, a clean deck to just sit on and enjoy the weather.
I would agree with
and
that.
And I'm a really big fan, if you couldn't tell by me talking about this, of sitting out on my deck, a clean deck, in this beautiful weather.
Well, and I have the puppy outside, and I've been playing with him, and he's doing great. So the weather is very accommodating for that as well.
You know what? I need to bring Ralph over because I was just talking to Annie about this today. He's lonely. You lose the brother.
You lost the dog. Yeah.
We did, and I think I'm seeing it. I'm seeing him kind of, you know, they always follow you around a little bit, but they need a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm learning that he took a lot of his like play time out on the other dog. And the other dog's not there to keep him in check, so now he bothers me all the time.
Well, I think there is something to that. Look, when we made the move very quickly on a puppy in June after Duke, my other dog had passed away, and Alex, you knew Duke because you'd been at my house many times, and he was a great dog. But, you know, part of the reason is because Olaf, our little terrier, who's about 13 years old, we thought, well, he's going to be super lonely. Well, for the first month and a half, and we've had this dog now 3 months almost, but for at least 7 weeks, Olaf just hated him. You know, he would want to play with Olaf, and then he would nip him, and then Olaf's like, forget it, dude. I'm not having any of this. But in the last few weeks, and I was witnessing this last night, and dogs are kind of fun when they adjust to the surroundings, and we're told that No Leash Needed, where he goes and he does daycare, that he'll just kind of sit in the middle of the yard, and he just lays on his side, and he sprawls backward, and that's kind of, you know, his submission position, if you will, for the other dogs to come in and play. And he's been doing that with Olaf, so I was watching him last night. He's just kind of, you know, licking Olaf a little bit, not nipping him, very gently, and then kind of falling over on his side to show that he's not necessarily the one who needs to be dominant. And Olaf's wagging his tail, and they're sitting next to one another and sleeping next to one another now. So it took a long time, but I'm with you. So I guess is what I'm saying is you need to get a puppy,
Alex.
That's what I'm hearing.
I think you need the Nobel Dog Award. Nobel Dog Prize.
Yes, really.
It is
working out.
It's not only for that, but as I mentioned yesterday, that everyone's getting along. You know, the cats and the bunny. I was very concerned about Oreo with the puppy because the puppy's so hyper and aggressive and everything. But now they get along. Everyone's doing fine. And the whole Reardon Zoo is at one,
sure,
if you will.
At one. Well, it kind of is true,
Yeah, I say so. All right,
you
just
have like an honorary zoo degree, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, you're pretty like well versed in you know, if you add a new animal of some sort to the home.
Uh-huh. Now, I'll tell you what I'm well versed in is vet bills. That's what I'm extremely well versed in. We had another issue with one of the cats today. Had to take one of the cats in Coco for a little weird bacterial infection around her ear. So the vets are kept very
safe. So you
keep
them in business.
Yeah. So, you know, school has started. Sue's been highlighting that with traffic reports the last week. Alex, your wife is a
fifth grade teacher.
Weird to say that
isn't
your wife is a teacher, like wife when I say that word. So that's interesting. Annie's fifth grade. That's what Alexa is now.
Okay.
You know, she's in fifth grade. In California and across the country, they're having some problems because the Biden administration awarded, there's an electric bus maker, Lion Electric, and they were given $159 million to manufacture 435 school buses between 2022 and 2024. So these are EVs. These are electric buses, making it the third largest recipient of such funding. So here's the problem. The company, Lion Electric, has fallen into bankruptcy. They cannot deliver the hundreds of buses that they promised, and they warned school districts that because of the you know, financial situation, we can't help you with all these buses. So of course they're turning back to diesel and killing the environment. The Free Beacon is reporting that Lion, then nearing bankruptcy, had yet to deliver $95 million worth of the electric buses, but it pledged, you know, to produce some other ones. The Biden administration's $5 billion clean school bus program was where this all came from. Lion was sold for just $6 million.
That's it?
Yeah, because it was in bankruptcy. Huh. It was valued at 4.7. Boy, that's even a better deal than the guy got on the AT&T building.
Right.
So somebody bought it for $6 million. It was valued at 4.7 as recently as June of 2021. But keep in mind, what they had to do here is they had to shutter plants. They had to fire the majority of the employees. They told consumers and school districts they couldn't enter, you know, not only could they not provide the new buses, but if there was a warranty on one of their EVs that you had purchased from earlier in the decade, well, they can't help you with that anymore, which is kind of interesting. So that's part of the green energy failures of the Biden administration. I'm sure that that's happening time and time again over. One of the things I want to talk about, Alex, when we wrap up with Sue's news is, and I saw this up on Will Cain's show. I've had it on my list for a couple of days. Remember the big concert in the aftermath of all the fires? They did Fire Aid.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite bands, Dawes, they had lost a bunch of equipment in a studio in that fire, and they were a big part of that. I can't remember where they streamed it, but it was on the streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Most of the artists. I do remember a couple of people not being able to get the words out, or there was something. There was someone in particular who came out on a chair, and ooh, it didn't sound very good at all. But the point of part of this story is they raised $100 million from all that, and they don't quite know where all the money is. In other words, how did the money get doled out? It went to different charities and different organizations. But in the LA Times, it was either on Sunday or Monday. I think this might have been a Sunday story. They were having a particular problem of patching it all together, figuring out who actually got the money. I always wonder about that in these situations, not to rip on the Red Cross in any way, shape, or form. The Red Cross is there for a lot of these things that happen. But you also wonder how much of the actual money that you might donate in the aftermath of a terrible wildfire, a hurricane, or something along those lines actually lands in people's pockets or goes to help. And we would hope that in the situation with the Red Cross, it would be very high confidence that that money would land in the right place. But, you know, a lot of these charities have high salaries and a lot of overhead. And sometimes it's a little stunning how much actual money that you donate gets put to good use. We're going to have Sue's news coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I do want to talk when we come back about the Cardinals' lack of fans last night. Joe Buck even highlighted that there is a story about screwworms that I've been dying to get a little bit of time for. If you haven't heard about that, that'll freak you out. That's coming up. And then at 5 o'clock, Brad Young's going to join us. 97.1 FM Talk Chief Legal Analyst. We'll have Phil Holloway weighing in on the shooting in Minneapolis and some other stories.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Here is a just some breaking news here. A tweet from Kristi Noem, the DHS secretary, on the shooting. Unfortunately, we've had to cover that quite a bit here on the show. In Minneapolis, two people dead, 17 injured. There is an expectation that everyone that's in the hospital will survive, which is good news. Kristi Noem just sending out a tweet that said, "We have confirmation that the shooter at Annunciation Catholic School, Minneapolis, Minnesota, was a 23-year-old man claiming to be transgender. This deranged monster targeted our most vulnerable young children praying in their first morning mass of the school year. This deeply sick murderer scrawled the words, 'For the children,' and 'Where is your God?' and killed Donald Trump on a rifle magazine. This level of violence is unthinkable. Our deepest prayers are with the children, families, educators, and Christians everywhere. We mourn with them. We pray for healing, and we will never forget them." That story obviously still developing. There has been at least two news conferences with officials in Minneapolis sort of going over the details, and we could even have another one before the show is open. And we'll certainly keep you tracked or posted on that if they do develop.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Today is National Just Because Day, which encourages people to do things simply for the sake of it. Fred, you can do that.
I think I do that all the time.
Oh, that's true. You probably do.
I think I do that all the time.
Fred went on a mission of to save his wife today. Fred, what happened?
Well, she's got a new electric bike that she likes to ride. And around noon or so, she texted me and said, "Hey, I just blew a tire." And she was way far from home. And she's like, "I'll just walk it home." And I'm like, no, I'll just come and get you. So I just took off in the middle of the day and went down to Lime Park and found her on the side of Lime Road.
Oh, that's so awful.
How far away was that? Like, if she would have done it and walked home, what would that?
That would have been a couple miles, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And that's no fun with a bike, especially an e-bike. Those things are heavy.
But, you know, it was like I was part of a bike crew. I just pulled up alongside, opened the hatch, threw the bike in. She hopped in. We took off.
Well,
that was very nice
wagon.
Of you, but she didn't. That? She didn't wreck or anything like that, right?
She flew off, but she's fine. Ooh.
She flew off because the tire went flat, or
well, she ran into the curb when she swerved from another bike.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sometimes it gets busy down there. Yep.
Yeah.
Did she throw down with the other biker? Will we see that on Instagram? It went viral.
I don't think the other biker even noticed. Just kept on going. No.
That's the worst, isn't it?
Yes.
We went to took her to Southside Cyclery, and then the bike's all repaired.
Oh, good. That place is great, by the way. You can also celebrate National Peach Day and National Pot de Creme Day. I like a pot de creme.
I don't know what a pot de creme is.
What is it?
That dessert that's a cream. It's like a cream-based dessert. You know, creme brulee, they do the burn. Sure. You know, they burn the sugar on top. This isn't that. It's softer and just, ooh, it's really delicious.
Say it again. What was it?
Pot de creme.
Pot de creme.
What was the first one? I believe peach was involved.
National Peach Day. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a peach cobbler that was made more recently by someone on this show?
Yes, there was.
Why wasn't there not a repeat performance of that on National Peach Day?
Because that person just found out today. Who knows where any of her pans are.
You did tell me, you know, I said to you that I don't really know to this day what a cobbler is versus a pie. I just know that it was delicious.
That is
you
a good question.
But you said, wait, I'm making a peach pie. So that challenge is still out
there.
That's
true.
And I want
like a peach pie better than a peach cobbler. That may just be me. Anyone care?
Does a cobbler have more like liquidity to it?
Yes.
Would you say? Is that the right word? How about that word?
That is good.
I don't know where that just came from.
Does it though? Because
I think it's got like more of like a pudding based.
Well, the main part is the same, but the crust is a normal crust for a peach pie. But a cobbler is more of a like a cake thing on top.
You see, I like that.
Yeah.
Whatever you did, do the same thing again. I thought that was great.
All right.
Seriously.
Let me get right on that.
By the way, I want it known too to the group just because I mentioned this to Fred that I did some more baking over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I literally yesterday had my little Tupperware thing of chocolate chips right at the end of the counter to bring in here and to share, right? And my wife says, well, are you taking all those cookies? Yeah. And I'm like, apparently not. Hands up, because
how many you think it was?
Well, there were 9 or 10 of them or something like that. Yeah. And I backed off and put them right back. Apparently did not want me to share with
couldn't
the
even take
group.
Any of them, huh?
Right.
Well, that's noted.
Yes, and that's not on me. I just want that clear.
God forbid you make a few more next time.
Well, right. I will make a few more next time. I'll do some more this weekend.
Well, on this day in history, 41 years ago, it was in 1984 when President Reagan announced that school teacher Krista McAuliffe, I don't remember. Do you remember how to pronounce that?
McAuliffe, yeah.
Would be the first private citizen to fly aboard a space shuttle, and she was killed when the space shuttle Challenger exploded in January of 1986. But teacher Barbara Morgan, who was her backup for that flight, completed the teacher in space mission, so to speak, by being part of the successful space shuttle Endeavour mission in August of 2007. And I just wonder if I were a backup for someone that was in a tragedy like that, whether I would even go. Yeah. I mean, I was just, wow. I know it was many years later, but woo, I don't know if I would risk it.
That's one of those moments where I literally can remember. I was living at 10th and Locust, downtown Columbia, across from the Greyhound bus station that no longer hasn't existed for a long time. In fact, where I used to live, the house is now all condos. But I remember walking in. This was in the early days of cable and CNN and the nonstop coverage that they had
terrible.
And the networks had about that.
You know, there's an interesting story today out about AI going wrong. And I know we're really at the very beginning of AI, but I can only imagine. Stefanina's Pizzeria in St. Charles County had to put a warning out on their Facebook page that Google AI is putting out fake specials for their menu and that they cannot honor them. So here we've got Eva Gannon of Stefanina's Pizza and Jonathan Hannanen from Washington University talking about the issue.
A small pizza, you get the second pizza for $4. We've never offered that special. It also tells you that we offer a large for the price of a small pizza. That's not true. We can't, as a small family business, honor a Google AI special.
It will sometimes take liberties to get you the result that you're looking for. How are you asking prompts? How are you asking questions? The collective conversation and not just this like binary call and response.
Just come to us for any information regarding us. And really, when it comes to any other company.
See, there's a topic I never even would have thought about,
what?
Right?
Me neither. So Google AI is just trying to get you a deal.
So if you just search the restaurant and you type it in, it's putting out basically yes. specials that they
are too good to fulfill.
That don't
Google's
exist.
Google's just doing it on
yeah.
its own.
Right, AI, that's the way I interpret
that. I originally had thought that the restaurant, was using AI to come up with specials. That's what you were saying.
No.
But that makes a lot of sense. That also explains why when I go search stuff on Google, sometimes it does give you an answer that's just kind of...
Like what?
Well, kind of like that. Or maybe it's sometimes the exact answer that you're looking for, but
yes.
it's too good to be true type thing.
Yep.
Which seems like the case here in the restaurant specials.
Imagine how frustrating it would be at the restaurant when somebody comes in and says, yeah, this I understand I get this for $4, and they're like, what?
I mean, hey, if Google says so, right?
Or exactly, because we think that's everything. Fred found this story. There is a St. Louis jury has found a man guilty of a Kohl's cash scam. Marshall Lampkin would use the Kohl's cash coupons to buy items at a physical store, then immediately use the same coupons to buy things on the Kohl's website because he figured out it took a little while for the Kohl's to register the in-person transactions. So then he would return whatever he bought in-store for a refund. Huh. And he did this more than 100 times in 40 stores in 13 states. And in all, he scammed Kohl's out of $200,000. The jury found him guilty of mail fraud, and they did so in less than 7 minutes. So
maybe I'm
that's
crazy, but this seems, you know, borderline brilliant and kind of a flaw on the side of Kohl's.
I'm with Alex on that. That's fascinating to me.
You know, he is just using his coupon that's on them to cancel it out of the system. I mean, that's like saying if you have a gift card, okay, and you go to a restaurant, say, right, and they scan it, they take it back, they do their thing, and you go and you look, and you still got the same amount of credit on the card. We're all probably not going to say, hey, you forgot to scan my card for the amount of the... You're going to be like, okay, I won. I get to use it again. That's all this guy did. He just over and over again.
Except of the taking back of the clothes. In other words, okay, I mean, I get it, but he did that on purpose knowing that he was pulling off a scam and then returning it because he had bought it. No.
A for effort, but still illegal, right?
$200,000, that's a lot of money. All right, YouTube is now the most watched streaming service again, so this is 6 months straight, and this is according to Nielsen, and Nielsen only records TV viewing. So when you think about how much people watch it on their phones, it's probably a lot more. But they say YouTube is now 13.4% of the viewing market. And streaming next is Disney. Disney is number two. But that's Disney and Hulu, which will eventually become one app. Netflix was number three, and it has 8.8% of TV viewers. And whatever this is, the K-pop Demon Hunters on Netflix.
I've been seeing that.
Okay, you watched it?
Couldn't
what
tell
is
you
it?
What it is.
No, I couldn't either.
No.
I've seen the
I'd have to imagine it's,
up.
You know,
it's for
they
the
hunt
kids.
Demons.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But they say it has set a Netflix record for the most views with 236 million. So whatever that is, I pretty much am not going to watch anything with the word demon in it. But
I miss the, and I guess this is something, I don't know when they announced, but Disney and Hulu are going to one app?
Okay. By next year, they
really?
Will be one app.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. So it stinks because I like Hulu. I don't want Disney,
so,
but
yeah.
I got to get both now.
I wonder what they're going to do with the subscriptions now.
Yeah,
well, they're going to raise it.
They're going to raise it.
See, that's
it, make
a trifecta thing. You got ESPN Plus. ESPN is making some changes right now, but that's a very good question.
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't like it. Steve Carell and John Krasinski surprised the cast of The Office spinoff The Paper on their first day of filming to wish them good luck. And it was all because they happened to be next door filming a coffee commercial. And they were like, oh, hey!
Wow.
They're filming next
Love
door,
that.
But the cast was all thrilled, and they felt like, oh, it's good luck that they're here. So that's going to kick off pretty soon. And I've got to have to wrap this up. All right, and finally in Sue's News, we have today's random fact, but you got to stay with me. It's long.
Okay.
Okay. In 1925, Archaeologists were excavating the ruins of ancient Babylon when they discovered a museum. The museum dated back to 530 BC, and there were artifacts from 2,000 years before that. So imagine digging through the ruins of a place nearly 2,500 years old and finding artifacts that archaeologists then discovered from 2,000 years before that. So it was a gold mine of all kinds of stuff, and it went back 4,000 years.
And I'm sorry, where was this?
This was the ruins of ancient Babylon.
All right.
Items were neatly arranged side by side. They even had museum labels. So we've had museums for
They uncovered this digging?
Yeah.
They were digging deep, I guess.
Yes, they were.
Very fascinating. Wrapping up Sue's News here for a Wednesday afternoon.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Fred, was that last Friday we were at the baseball game or two Fridays ago?
It was two Fridays ago.
And we had a lot of fun that night. But then there was this story on Monday that said, this was in our local paper, to find the last time the Cardinals had a smaller home crowd than the announced gathering of 17,675 fans at Busch Stadium on Monday against Pittsburgh. You have to go back 28 years. On Monday, this is weird too because of the date. On August 25th, 1997.
What?
Isn't that the same date that they're talking about? Isn't that weird?
Today is what? The 27th?
Today's the 27th, but this was, you know, talking about the game on Monday. Montreal was in town. That tells you how long ago it was, yeah. Right? It was Montreal. 16,965 fans gathered to watch Pedro Martinez, who was pitching for the Expos at the time, win in a 2-1 game. That was a season that the Cardinals finished 73-89. The average attendance was 32,772. This year, they're averaging under 29,000 fans. And you pointed this out. I had missed this, but Joe Buck on, was this on X? X, formerly Twitter, during, he capitalized, that's what, if we were George Gray, we'd have to shout that, during the game in SCL last night, wow, welcome back to the 70s, this is what it used to look like. I was there, pre-Whitey, buying shag carpet, ASAP, a major rebuild of roster and trust, better be coming, one can only hope. It's coming, right? Buena suerte, Haim, rooting for you, is reference to the new general, the general manager in waiting. Is that what we would say, Haim Bloom?
The president of baseball operations.
There you go. There's his official title. So, Ethan, you've been at these games. Alex, you're still playing music at some of the games too, right?
Yeah, the attendance is pretty good when I'm there, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're all up there on the third floor watching you,
yeah,
right?
100%. Yeah, I'm there quite often.
The female population just on those games just goes through the roof.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But look, this is, we've been talking about this for a while now, and we're all used to seeing fans pack the stands at Busch Stadium, even when teams that are of subpar, you know, records come into town. But this is, again, it's kind of shocking, and things improved a little bit, Ethan, over the summer because the team was playing better. But the thing that really concerns, I think, most fans, and you can hear this in what Joe Buck alludes to, when he says a major rebuild of roster and trust better be coming, that's what think you know people were clamoring for last year when Mo was getting all the criticism. But, man, this is not going to – I think we knew at the time it was going to take a while, but this may take longer than even people expect.
Unfortunately, the trust – has been completely broken between the fans and this front office, and it is beyond saving. Fortunately, there is a huge change that is coming in the next couple of months, and I think that Cardinal fans will have a slight higher level of patience, but I'll tell you this much, it's going to be very important very quickly for Haim Bloom and company to be very upfront and candid about where the organization is at and the direction that they're heading and how they're going to get back to being a winning ball club. Because here's the thing, 2026, it's likely going to be a repeat of 2025 as far as winning on-field results. They're not going to be a contending club in 2026. That's the reality. You take into consideration the amount of injuries they've had to their minor league pitching this year. You take into consideration that we're probably going to have a lockout in 2027. They're not going to spend on this team. There's still things to figure out. So all that to be considered in that they are not going to be a contender in 2026, likely. The upper management.
Their best case scenario is 2028. Now we're fast forward to the next presidential race, right?
The upper management has to be open and honest about the direction that they are trying to get this going. Haim Bloom has done this before. Very good prospects that are coming up to the majors right now for the Boston Red Sox, those were his guys. Yeah. The Tampa Bay Rays and how they were able to be so good with spending no money, that was Haim Bloom's product. So he's done this before. They just have to be open and honest about how they're going to get there. St. Louis fans are smart enough, I think, that they'll have a little more patience if it's communicated the right way.
I think that the patience would be there for sure if some of the prospects that we had been, you know, told that were highly touted were meeting their expectation right now. Yeah. That's one of the issues, right? Because you, in theory, should have some guys on this team right now, even a former guy like Dylan Carlson, who should be, you know, performing at elite levels, and they just never manifested.
Correct.
Jordan Walker's still young, so there's still opportunities there. Victor Scott's another guy. But you have to have somebody that dazzles more than these guys have, and you need someone that can hit, you know, 25, 30 home runs, maybe a couple players like that.
Correct, and it really is a shame that John Mozeliak is going to be remembered probably, at least in the next handful of years, for how things kind of fell off the tracks. Because when you look at the career as a whole, as the general manager and Pobo for the Cardinals, there really is a lot of historic things that he did, and he'll end up someday being a Cardinal Hall of Famer. He most definitely will be. He won 2 world championships, multiple pennants. I mean, he will most definitely. But the reality is that the heartbeat of the St. Louis Cardinals is their ability to develop talent in-house. And unfortunately, that the quality of the player development went down significantly in these last, 8 to 10 years
during
his time.
And that doesn't put seats in the stadium. If you're going back to that, like to the general public, I mean, I think a lot of baseball fans do get that for sure, that it takes time. But like also during this time, it's kind of like you got to give them some excitement on the field as far as when you think back, we had Yachty, we had Pujols, we had Waino.
Homegrown talent.
Yeah, but also, when it faded off a little bit, the homegrown talent, I felt like more could have been done to bring in a big name that is like your big billboard player.
They brought in Arenado and Goldschmidt, and a lot of us didn't think that that was impossible, and they pulled that off, and that was, you know, in an effort to win another championship, certainly.
The problem has not been that the Cardinals haven't been willing to spend. The problem is that the spending has been covering up the real issues, and that is that the player development system has gotten so bad. The Cardinals have spent. They prior to the last 2 years, they'd still been, you know, in that middle tier range, despite being one of the smallest markets in baseball. The problem is that you can't solely compete, if you're the Cardinals, in this small of a market with the Los Angeles Dodgers, with the New York Yankees, because they're going to always outbid you. So you have to be able to have a healthy mix of being able to go and get that guy on the market
with
Arenado,
right,
with like Goldschmidt, but also being able to develop that homegrown guy. The Cardinals have not been able to develop that superstar. We thought it was going to be we thought it was going to be Jordan Walker at one point. We thought it was going to be Dylan Carlson, even to a certain extent. It's also hard when you're drafting as late as they do every single year, when you're constantly in the mix for the playoffs. But guess what? The Dodgers have a top three system in baseball, and how long have they been one of the best teams in baseball? So you have to find a way to be able to do it better than St. Louis has.
It's just sad because I think we all can recognize, and I remember this certainly from my days in Milwaukee, and you know, it's a completely different franchise and organization right now, but they struggled for years and years and years, and you know, it took well into June to get anybody in the seats, and we've all looked at Pittsburgh or Cincinnati, some of these teams, even in the division, and you say, wow, man, it was like a couple thousand people are at those games. Mm-hmm. Look at the way that we pack the stands and the fans come out, and you know, it doesn't matter. Well, I mean, the bottom line is it does matter, and the quality of the team matters, but those numbers are, you know, 29,000 average, that is staggering. Yeah. You know, you're talking about not only reaching 3 million, which was the standard number for years, but barely reaching 2 million.
You hope that it's an eye opener for ownership, right? That the fans are making it known. This is the statement from the fans, and you have to give it to them because they the communication has been very poor the last couple of years, and there's been a lot of covering up of issues, it feels like, with the, all right, we'll go and we'll sign this guy, the mid-level guy that is presented to be a piece that is going to do a lot for the club and get them back into the playoff mix. The messaging has not been there, and the fans are smart enough to recognize that, and they're making that known with their wallets right now.
Yeah, and I think they're going to make it known for a while. I mean, I can't imagine that if we're in the same situation a year from now, you know, when I say same situation, I mean we're all in this studio talking about this. I don't think the numbers are going to be dramatically improved. Let me get a couple things in here before the break and take this in another direction. It's one of these stories, well, I think both these stories are weird. You covered last week, and you guys heard this story about the dude that was infected by the brain-eating amoeba at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Right.
That's a weird, weird story. So I guess that this is something that I can't even pronounce, called Nagellia fowleri. It's a microscopic amoeba that causes something that's bad that I can also not pronounce, a rare but nearly always fatal brain infection that is referred to as brain-eating disease. So the guy was hospitalized in the ICU before succumbing to the infection, and they think it happened when he was water skiing at the Lake of the Ozarks. So how
did they narrow it down to that, though?
Well, because it's something that's present in warm, fresh water, they say, like lakes, rivers, and ponds. It thrives in a river and lake water that's 80 to 115 degrees. He had been at the Lake of the Ozarks. They say that this is so rare that fewer than 10 cases are reported in the U.S. each year. And since 1962, only 167 cases have been documented nationwide. I mean, that is minuscule. We've had two other cases in our state's history, one in 1987, another in 2022. And, you know, I guess the only thing they said in this story is that you can take precautions if you're, you know, in warm, fresh water, holding your nose or using clips, avoiding stirring sediment in warm, shallow water. Good luck with that. Not dunking your head in hot springs, and using distilled or boiled water for sinus rinses. That sounds like a lot of work that people would never know that they would even have this, because I guess it could even happen a couple weeks after you are infected. So you have that story, and then there's the Fred, you saw the screwworm story, right?
Yeah.
This is bizarre, too. Have you heard about this, Sue? A rare human case of a flesh-eating parasite known as New World screwworm has been confirmed in Maryland at a resident there. The Trump administration is trying to prevent a resurgence of an insect largely eradicated from livestock decades ago. So this was something that was confirmed earlier this month, August 4th. It was a person who traveled to the U.S. from El Salvador. And Andrew Nixon, who is with the DHS, confirmed this. The resident has recovered without evidence of infecting other humans or animals. Apparently, this is something that is a little bit more common with animals. And there was an outbreak in Central America, and they were worried that it was going to be something that would devastate the cattle industry. But state and federal officials said that this case is not a cause for alarm and that plans for new sterile fly production facility in South Texas, which I guess is something that's intended to tamp down the global threats from this pest and others, is underway. They say livestock not particularly at risk due to this case. Based on what has been shared with state animal health officials, we don't see any elevated risk to the livestock industry at this time. But that's all we need, right? You have all these weird diseases. The bird flu and everything else that affects the prices. By the way, beef prices, I don't know, I do the shopping. Chicken is really cheap right now. Does anybody notice that? Like, if you buy chicken breasts, yeah, I think it's really inexpensive.
Huh, that's interesting.
You find that different?
I just bought it last night, but I guess I didn't look before to see a difference.
Try to buy just a pound of ground beef or some steaks or something
it's
like
expensive.
That, and it's really, really. All right, Brad Young coming up after the top of the hour, 97.1 FM Talk, legal analyst. We've got a bunch to talk about with him, the very latest on the devastating, tragic shooting in Minneapolis as well. We'll have in the next hour, Phil Holloway will weigh in on some of that as well. Plus, I'll have audio cut of the day. You know, I send Fred these articles and I say, I want to do this on a given day. And then there's a lot of them that slip by. Alex Rich is here, by the way, that visits with us on a Wednesday. And I sent this to you, Fred, a couple of weeks ago. I've been wanting to do this story about Oreos with Reese's because I found it so interesting. I love my Oreos. I do like the white Oreos. What are those called? The gold. The
Golden
Oreos.
Good.
Yeah, I think those are good too. But so the headline of this story from the 8th of August was Oreos combined with Reese's inside the Manhattan Project of snacks, because they even say that the combination of two of America's favorite treats sounded simple. It was not. And Jesse Newman, who's the reporter here, basically tells the story this way. Senior employees from the sweets and snacks giant Mondelez, I think it's how you pronounce it. That's the company that owns Oreo. They slipped into a conference room at the Pennsylvania headquarters of arch rival Hershey on a spring day 3 years ago. They were there to discuss a merger. The tie-up on the table wasn't a typical corporate combination. Hershey makes Reese's peanut butter cups. Mondelez makes Oreo cookies. It was time the companies decided to unite them. Hershey would infuse Oreos into its nutty confection. Mondelez would fill Oreos with Reese's peanut butter.
You're right.
Finally satisfying. Right,
it sounds great.
But that's what they say. They said, in theory, the idea behind the products was simple. In practice, merging two of America's most iconic snacks while maintaining, this is the important part here, their individual identities, was a deeply complex undertaking.
Oh, come on.
Requiring cloak and dagger tactics reminiscent of the Manhattan Project. Executives and food scientists met in secret. They spoke in code, keeping knowledge of the effort to a tight circle to prevent leaks.
Wait, how is it hard?
Yeah,
to mix up little Oreos and put them in a Reese's peanut butter cup.
I don't think they wanted to share the recipes.
Yeah, that was part of it, right? So they talked about how
I see what you're saying,
they
Fred.
Did this before, and I guess Mondelez had this limited edition Oreo cookie with Reese's peanut butter filling. This is going back to 2014.
Sounds unbelievable.
And I guess people liked it, and they demanded it. So there were things that had occurred on social media, you know, like hacks, they call them, or mashups have circulated, where they show people, you know, munching on a Reese's cup sandwich between Oreo wafers, and then the peanut butter is there as well. But it wasn't until April of 2022 where they first started gathering and talking about this. The task, according to the company that owned Oreo, was creating a double stuffed Oreo that looked and tasted like the 113-year-old classic while working in Reese's peanut butter into the mix. Hershey's mission was to incorporate Oreo's signature cocoa cookie crunch and vanilla cream into its tried and true peanut butter cups. But Fred's right. The challenge was no one would be sharing any recipes. Mm. So these blueprints for both the Oreos and the peanut butter cups are closely guarded secrets. Neither company wanted to provide details about, you know, their product to a number one competitor. So they had to figure out a way to get their offerings to taste like the others without even knowing the formulas.
Well,
and you know, so the way this started was the lawyers got involved. They had to draw up NDAs and intellectual property agreements, all this stuff. They ultimately included language about how Oreo would be used in the final Reese's product. And they called it Project Snoopy, which was an homage to the Peanuts character. And Hershey, actually, they had two different names because Mondelez, which was the Oreo company, they called it Project Snoopy. Hershey called it Project Power Play. And I guess you're talking about only a dozen people at each company was even involved in any of this. Now, I'd have to get to the end here because they tried a bunch of different things. One thing they did was they wanted to put the peanut butter cup with the Oreo crumbles, and I guess they sell something like Oreo base cakes, which are individual wafers that other food companies, I didn't know this, but they have these base cakes and you can use them, other food companies can use them as an ingredient. But the problem here was the standard peanut butter cup is gluten-free, and I guess that's a big deal for some people. Gluten, however, here's the problem, helps bind cookies together, and without it, the machinery, which is used for pretzels and nuts at Hershey, was just pulverizing the base cakes into dust, and they turned the Reese's filling into gray, and they didn't deliver a recognizable crunch. So I can't remember. I read this story a couple of weeks ago, and I don't remember if they had a final answer here where this stuff is finally coming to the to the stores. I think they did get a victory. There were testing that was done. It was kept top secret. Let me see here.
Seems like they should just kind of encase a Oreo cookie inside the Reese's peanut butter cup and just call it a day, right?
Yep, and they all knew going in they didn't want to give up their formulas, so they knew this was going to be a nightmare.
I don't know if they knew it was going to be as tough, but yeah, they say that the results of the what they refer to here in the Wall Street Journal as snack diplomacy will hit supermarket shelves here very, very soon. And they're hoping that it's going to be especially appealing to younger consumers who enjoy the brand collaborations and favor foods with multiple textures and more complex flavors.
I don't
flavors.
See why the young people would find that any more interesting than the old people.
I think it's going to break the internet.
Yeah.
I love both of them, but it is interesting because they had to get into a situation where I guess vanilla was a particular issue because it's just like, you know, if you ever look at paint colors. You know how many different shades of white there are?
It's outrageous.
It's like a million. Mm-hmm. So apparently there's a lot of different vanillas out there as well. And that got tricky because they were trying to match things up where it would go in the right direction and it would taste good, it would look good without spilling the proprietary details of the product. So it was a lot of hit and miss, a lot of trial and error, longer than most products. But I guess they tried 35 different versions of the cup. They put them through 4 rounds of consumer testing before everyone was satisfied. It should hit the stores very soon.
Can't
I'm very
wait.
Excited about it. Alex, great to see you. We'll
great
see you next
see
Wednesday.
You.
Get more at 971talk.com.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.